The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. When I was in seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, I took a class on Islam from an adjunct professor, a guy who was completing his PhD dissertation, named John Loom. Professor Loom was a fascinating guy. He's from Gambia, West Africa, and he grew up in a practicing Muslim home. But as a young man, he received the gift of faith in Christ. I've never met anyone who understands and treasures the gospel like he does. But soon after his conversion, his new faith in Christ cost him dearly. He was forced to leave Gambia under cover of darkness, fearing for his life and the lives of his young wife and their baby boy. There are members of Dr. Loom's family he's never seen since, and this is decades ago. They disowned him. Here's why I thought of Dr. Loom when reading our gospel lesson this morning. An incident here is described that happened at the very beginning of the ministry of Jesus. John the Baptist pointed at Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Upon hearing John point out Jesus as the Lamb of God, two of John's disciples began to follow Jesus on foot. When Jesus noticed these guys following him, he turned and asked them, "What are you seeking? What do you want?" That's a question that implies something. It implies that Jesus may or may not have what you want. If you're a young Islamic man in West Africa with a wife and a baby boy, and what you want is a simple and familiar life surrounded by extended family who love you, if that's what you're looking for, do you profess faith in Christ? Apparently not. You know, I remember in the 1980s, I think it was more common then, You used to see bumper stickers that said, Christ is the answer. I don't know. I think it probably depends on what you're seeking. So what are you seeking? I'm glad you're here. But why did you come to church? You know, there are some people in America who show up at church hoping God will make them rich. In fact, if you walk into the Barnes & Noble bookstore at the Clackamas Mall and go to the Christian section, many of the most popular books have little or nothing to do with Christianity and everything to do with manipulating God to accomplish your dreams of wealth. In fact, it's so ubiquitous, if you asked a non-Christian about the Christian faith, he'd likely point to a TV prosperity preacher. In the media, that's the most common representation of Christianity in America. Is that what you're seeking here? Wealth? Good luck. And let me know if you find it. Or maybe you're seeking validation. Maybe you're a person who's made some mistakes in life. And it took some hard work. But now you've got your act together. Now you make the right choices and avoid the wrong ones. And naturally, you want to be with others who have similar high standards. People who think like you. People who vote like you vote. Who love what you love. Who hate what you hate. People who share your core values. Is that what you're seeking here? Validation? Is that why you come to church? For the camaraderie of the righteous? I hope not. Because truthfully, there is no one here who is righteous on their own. No, not one. Read Romans 3:10. You know, when John the Baptist pointed at Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," it didn't sound nearly as strange to those people surrounding Jesus as it sounds to us. That's because in the first century, and for many centuries before that, the Jewish temple worship included a ceremony for the atonement of sin that worked like this. The head of the household would bring the family's best, most perfect animal, often a lamb, to the temple. And placing his hands on the lamb's head, he would confess the sins of the family. Then the priest would lay the lamb on the altar, slaughter it, and proclaim, "By the blood of the lamb, your sins are forgiven." And so atonement would be made and sins forgiven by the blood of the Lamb, at least temporarily. This sacrifice was required annually. That temple sacrifice looked back at the Exodus when God instructed His people to sacrifice their best lamb and paint their doors with the blood of the Lamb. And then the angel of death passed over the homes of those Jewish slaves in Egypt, those homes marked with the blood of the Lamb. And so God's people were saved from death. And that sacrifice of a lamb at the temple also pointed forward to the coming once and for all sacrifice of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He died for everybody to remove our sins forever. Read Hebrews chapter 10. And in our gospel lesson today, That's what those two disciples of John the Baptist were seeking when they chased after Jesus. They were seeking to have their sins taken away. They were seeking forgiveness. But not forgiveness the way we think of forgiveness. We usually think of forgiveness as conditional, as in, you're forgiven under this condition. You don't screw up again. Understand? That's our concept of forgiveness. A brand of forgiveness dependent on us mending our ways or doing better or working harder. A brand of forgiveness that leaves us exhausted. But that's not the kind of forgiveness offered by the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus offers real, lasting forgiveness for us real human beings. Real human beings so fallible and sinful that even our righteous deeds are considered filthy rags in the eyes of God. Read Isaiah 64:6. And yet the blood of the Lamb of God is so powerful, it takes away your sin and continues to take away your sin. Receiving that forgiveness, the end result for you and me, is the experience of real peace and rest and the assurance of God's mercy and favor in your life. No matter your circumstances or your struggles or your failures. Some of you know that my family had a pretty rough last couple weeks. Our oldest child, our daughter Taylor, and her husband Ben announced before Christmas that she was pregnant. Joyous news. But then a couple weeks after Christmas, it was discovered that the baby, a girl, had an extra 13th chromosome, which means severely compromised cognitive abilities and physical abnormalities and an 80% chance of death during the baby's first year. Taylor was advised by the medical community to terminate her pregnancy. So she and Ben went home and talked about it and decided no, they couldn't do that. Instead, they chose a name for her and decided to pray for a miracle. Very early in the morning this past Monday, Taylor had a miscarriage. I was afraid to admit to God that that's what I hoped for. And when it happened, I was filled with grief and shame. Shame because of my unwelcoming attitude toward an imperfect child. Even my own granddaughter. I did pray for a miracle. And I received one. The miracle is that God is merciful even to me. And when I confess my sin, He is faithful and just to forgive my sin and cleanse even me from all unrighteousness. Someday I'll meet my granddaughter in heaven. Because I'm forgiven. I hope that's what you are seeking when you show up here at church. Forgiveness. A proclamation of God's forgiveness of you. I hope that's what you're seeking. Because when it gets right down to it, that's all we offer here. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be like John Loom, who understands and treasures the gospel. The good news that though we are sinful, Christ died for us, and we sinners are forgiven. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.